The Adjuster's Resume Playbook, a step-by-step guide to creating an insurance adjuster resume by Chris Stanley and John Bachman, narrated by Chris Stanley, cover by Shane Mikus, an IAPath publication, forward by Tony Canyas. Resumes and interviewing are an alternate reality designed to screen you out. They function by their own set of rules, completely disconnected from common sense and from the rest of the world in general. You would think that including every detail of every job you've ever had in a 3-page resume would give the company a better idea of who you are and thus give you a better chance of getting the job. You would think that including your smiling photo would be helpful. You would think that a fancy, beautifully designed, colorful resume with custom designed infographics would help you stand out for sure. In all of these cases, you would be wrong. I've had 8 insurance jobs in the last 10 years, and each of those was a complicated application process, and I made many resume mistakes during those transitions, most of which would have been easily avoided if I had read this book. There was a time when my 2-page, colorful, gorgeous resume featured both my photo and listings of my favorite hobbies and favorite books. At that time, I wondered why it took me so many applications to get a single interview. And now, after having advised hundreds of insurance pros in their job searches through Insurance Nerds and seen hundreds more resumes through my work at the Jacobson Group, I realized just how much my resume was a stumbling block instead of an asset. Again, I really wish I had this book years ago. John and Chris share a true burning passion for the claims side of the insurance industry and for helping claims professionals succeed, which makes them exactly the right duo to write this book. I absolutely love the way they went about it. They didn't just write about their own experiences, summarized a few online articles about proper resume practices, and called it a day. What I would have done. They did the hard work of contacting and interviewing several hiring managers at several claims organizations, aggregated that data, and truly distilled the lessons of what kind of resumes are actually successful in our industry and why. The result of their work will benefit our industry for many years to come. They also could have published a 300-page book with every excruciating detail of those conversations and left you to piece together how to actually make a better resume. Instead, they wisely made this into a workbook designed to be action-oriented and to walk you step-by-step through the hands-on process of designing a fantastic claims resume. All in about the time it would take you to binge a few episodes of your favorite Netflix show. Tony Canyas, CPCU. Introduction. You have, by some twist of fate, found yourself at a pivotal point in your career. You're looking for either a new job inside of the claims industry or your first job as an insurance adjuster. As you begin your job search, you get a knot in your stomach when you realize that you have to update your resume. You open the file on your computer and look at your resume. You can almost hear the recruiters and hiring managers laughing at you as you scan your life's work reduced down to letters and numbers on a page. You start to panic and ask the question, why would anyone hire me? Believe it or not, that is exactly the right question to be asking. Whether you're a seasoned, adjusting veteran or making a career jump into the insurance claims industry, crafting your resume can feel overwhelming. The fate of your career and your family's financial future rests in the hands of a typed-up document. What if it doesn't work? Don't worry. We'll help you. My name is Chris Stanley, and I love helping people learn how to become insurance adjusters. I've been an independent adjuster and independent auto damage appraiser for 12 years, and it's taken my family and I to places I could never dream of. Being an insurance adjuster is a fantastic career, and I've dedicated myself to helping those who are interested learn how to get started. For the past 4 years, I've educated and mentored insurance adjusters through my company called IAPath. My good friend and co-author, John Bachman, has worked claims directly for insurance companies for 15 plus years. John loves to tell people about the benefit of working in claims. He creates YouTube videos saying, "Claims is the place to be," and has developed a reputation as an advocate for the claims industry. He specializes in the customer experience, so insurance companies love to talk with him as an industry leader. Together, we set out to learn what insurance companies were looking for in adjuster candidates and what you could do to get hired. What we quickly realized was that the biggest hurdle many new or transitioning adjusters face is their resume. It became a huge section of our upcoming book, The Insurance Company Adjuster's Playbook, a career guide for getting hired and promoted as an adjuster for an insurance company. There is no way we could give you everything you needed about getting hired and promoted by an insurance company and walk you through the A to Z of a resume. The resume section became so big that we had to do a spinoff book, and that is the book you are holding. Instead of guessing about what should go on your resume, John and I went and asked the people that hire and recruit adjusters for insurance companies. I know. Brilliant, right? We asked the questions we knew you needed to know and didn't allow any preconceived ideas of what we thought would work get in the way. We looked for reoccurring themes and comments, and we consistently heard the same things over and over again. Their ideas of a good resume weren't as fun or sexy as we had hoped, but we got excited anyway. We realized anyone could create a great adjuster resume. We discovered that you truly could craft your resume in a way that could get you an interview, and that a good resume would help both aspiring independent and company adjusters. It also became abundantly clear that by properly preparing your resume, you would also be better prepared for your interview with a hiring manager. We believe that if you're able to sit in front of a real human being, you could probably sell yourself in person. But how do you sell yourself on a piece of paper? This book contains what John and I discovered through talking with those hiring and recruiting managers, and through our extensive research into resume writing. Moving forward, it'll be me, Chris Stanley, typing the keys. But make no mistake, this is the voice of both John Bachman and myself. We'll occasionally dip out and tell stories from either one of our perspectives. If we do, we'll talk about it from a third-party standpoint. One time when John was hiring, or Chris discovered this while training. Other than that, we're two birds singing in harmony. Well, at least two authors finding common ground. The first part of this book is an overview look at resumes. The second part is something we've developed specifically for adjusters. This section is called The Strategy. In that section, we'll be revealing the main themes and concepts we learned while interviewing hiring managers. In the third part of the book, The Playbook, we'll walk you through each part of the resume step by step and give you action points to take so you can craft your resume right along with us. Now, if you're ready, it's time to get your resume in order so you can get moving in your career. Let's go claim your life. Bonus resume resources. Throughout this book, you'll hear about a magical webpage that has free resources for you. Now, it's a real place, not just in our imagination. On it, we give you many, many more resources than we could fit inside of this book. This webpage allows us to continue to give you great resume content long after the book has been published. On the page is the download of this audiobook, job-specific resume examples, summaries of why we think you'd make an awesome adjuster, discounts to training that'll make your resume sing, videos, articles, and tons of other resources. You can find all this resume goodness at iPath.com/resume resources. Part 1. Overview. In this section of the book, we're going to cover what a resume is, what it's for, and help you create a mental shift in how you view your resume. What is a resume? Many job seekers are confused about resumes, and for good reason. We, the authors, personally believe a resume is one of the strangest documents ever invented. For many job seekers, it feels like the goal of a resume is to boil down your life's work, scratch that, to summarize who you are in as few words as possible, so that others can make a split-second decision on whether you're a potential right fit for their company. You think my saying, split-second decision, is an exaggeration? If it is, it isn't by much. One study showed that recruiters only spend 6 seconds reviewing a resume. Yup, you heard that right. You and your career are judged based on a piece of paper or a digital representation of one in 6 seconds. Another more recent study showed 7.4 seconds. But the point is, they aren't looking for long. You may have a similar reaction to that statement as I did. I had righteous indignation rise up. What in the world? You can't judge from a piece of paper if someone's a good fit, much less in 6 seconds. How can they do that? And that is another good question to be asking. Within this nugget of information, we can identify many things. One, nobody's reading your resume at first. They're just scanning it. Number two, HR and recruiters are looking for any reason to throw your resume into the do not hire pile. Number three, we need to give them what they're looking for so they can do their job easily and find the right candidate, which is you, of course. I want to challenge the way you look at your resume. This isn't your job history, and it certainly isn't a synopsis of who you are. A resume is an advertisement for you to a potential employer. Now, it may feel weird to think about working on an ad about yourself. But in case you're feeling pushback against this idea, let's think about this. If you were asked to join a luxury car club where you can swap out high-end fancy vehicles every month for a different one, it would probably have a high price tag. Let's say the cost would be $30,000 or $70,000 a year. I bet you'd have to read one heck of an ad to consider it. You'd be looking at the ad trying to decide if it was worth the cost or a good fit for you in your situation. You may be wondering why I bring up such a weird analogy. Here's why. Asking someone to pay $30,000 to $70,000 is exactly what we're asking potential employers to do. We're asking them to sign up to pay us tens of thousands of dollars a year, month after month, to come work for their company. The base salary is just one part of the investment they must make. If you're looking at a $40,000 salary, it's likely that between benefits and training that the insurance company will provide, the actual investment will be double that of your salary. They'll be investing $80,000 by hiring you the first year. Now, this doesn't even factor in the cost of then finding a new candidate to replace you. Ben Baker of Your Brand Marketing states that for every employee who is lost, the true cost to an organization could be upwards of $100,000. When you think of it that way, we can't just document facts on our resume. We need to be telling a story, selling value, and solving pain points and problems with traits, skills, accomplishments, and characteristics that the company is looking for. So, what are recruiters and hiring managers looking for? What is the key information they need to digest in our 6-second ad so they will take a second look at us? We'll get there. Don't worry. ATS, Applicant Tracking System. Before we get into all the specifics of what needs to go on your resume, we need to talk about something else, the applicant tracking system. Many employers, and for us, that means insurance companies and adjusting firms, are using a software program to find the best candidates for a job or position. These candidates are selected and shown then to a hiring manager. On average, 250 people apply for each job posted, and companies are looking to reduce that down to fewer than 10. They use the ATS software to filter out the candidates that are obviously not a qualified or right fit for the job. I know what you're thinking. Are you telling me a computer is saying whether I'm a good fit or not? In short, yes and no. The computer's job is to determine who is not a good fit. A person, usually from human resources, will determine which individuals from the computer's selection will continue on to the interview process. Do not panic. If we understand the rules of the game, we can play to win. That is why you have a playbook in your hands right now. So let's look at what we're facing and then decide what we can do about it. Three O's of a resume. Taking what we know so far about resumes, we can map out what we call the three O's to a resume. The object, the outcome, and the obstacles. Object. The object of your resume is to highlight parts of you and your life's work in an advertisement that sells a potential employer on your ability to successfully perform the job for which you are applying. Outcome. The desired outcome of your resume is to get an interview. Ultimately, you want a job, but a resume can't get you a job. It can only get you an interview. Obstacles. The obstacles to getting that interview are an ATS, that applicant tracking system, and or an HR/recruiter scanning your resume in 6 seconds. Those three O's set the stage for you to develop a strategy of how to accomplish your outcome. It tells you the lay of the land, all the preparation to this point in your life, your decision to pursue insurance adjusting, your education, your training, and hard work has led you to this resume. Let's now help you pull it all together by giving you a strategy. Part 2, strategy. Here, we'll go through what our strategy entails. You've had a mindset shift, but now it's time to put some practical handles and guidelines in play for you to craft your resume with. This will allow you to slay the ATS and hiring giants that stand in your way. the claim resume method. Here is how we're going to deal with the ATS and the HR person that is investing a whole 6 seconds on your resume. I call it the claim resume method. We're not doing any fancy things here. Just running the ball right up the middle so we get an interview. We aren't here to win an art contest with our resume. We're going to beat the ATS and the scanner with a straightforward resume. There are an infinite number of options and schools of thought when it comes to how to craft your resume. But don't go spinning off in 10 different directions. To keep you on the straight and narrow, we're going to use the claim acrostic as a guide. C, customize your resume for each job. L, length equals one page. A, arrange your skills. I, intentional and consistent. M, make it perfect. C, customize your resume for each job. You know how when you search for something on Google, it finds the best matches based on the keywords you type in the search bar? ATS programs are like that. The system is designed to look at what the job posting says and find the candidates that closely reflect that. Knowing this gives us a huge advantage. If we're willing to customize our resume to match the job we're submitting for. Also, remember, this is an advertisement selling you to a potential employer. We want to customize the ad to this potential buyer. Not all customers have the same wants, needs, and desires. And smart advertisers, they know this. That is why professional marketers and good salespeople speak to different problems, pain points, or features of a product that will excite the potential customer they're talking to. The great thing is, we don't have to guess at what the company or hiring manager wants to see on this resume. They're telling us exactly what they're looking for in the job posting. During our interviews with hiring managers, we asked how candidates could stand out. Their response was consistent. Read the job posting. Use the keywords. All right, we can do that. Let's listen to their advice and find the keywords and use them. Disclaimer. I hate that I even have to mention this, but I must. I am not saying you should lie on your resume about your experience or abilities. Recruiters and interviewers will see right through that. What I'm saying is to customize how you talk about your experience and skills to better match the words they use. We don't lie if we want to work in insurance. Save that for politics. Now let's look at an example of how you might be able to customize your resume based on a posting I just found on Indeed.com. Job duties. This role will include the following. Review the loss, policy, and other records to determine insurance coverage. You'll be expected to vary your investigation according to the claim type. Communicate effectively with policyholders, claimants, and witnesses via telephone or in person to investigate and resolve claims. Assist and work with the legal departments or attorneys when settlements cannot be negotiated by the adjuster. You may also be required to attend litigation and mediation hearings as needed. Be comfortable handling larger, more complex losses independently, professionally, and efficiently. Be able to review estimates written in Xactimate to assure that they were properly written and thoroughly address the covered damages. Okay. So under job duties, this posting's first duty is review the loss, policy, and other records to determine insurance coverage. You'll be expected to vary your investigation according to the claim type. Based on this, you can make sure that you mention understanding of policy or guidelines under a previous experience in your summary. That would provide a good match for the keyword policy. Let's look at the next one. Communicate effectively with policyholders, claimants, and witnesses via telephone or in person to investigate and resolve claims. So this ad also mentions communication is important. Did you have to communicate to clients or other personnel in a previous job? My guess is yes. Make sure you mention it and use the word communication. Another one. Assist and work with the legal departments or attorneys when settlements cannot be negotiated by the adjuster. You may also be required to attend litigation and mediation hearings as needed. Now, have you ever had to deal with litigation or do negotiation? Looks like that might be an important qualification to make sure you highlight. Be comfortable handling larger, more complex losses independently, professionally, and efficiently. Do you have the ability to handle complex situations? When you worked at the warehouse in Baghdad, did you have to navigate complex political situations? I'm sure you did. Now, be able to review estimates written in Xactimate to assure that they were properly written and thoroughly address the covered damages. Finally, they mentioned Xactimate. Now, this tells you what? Even if you're familiar with the other software programs, they don't really care. Oh, you know Simbility? Not interested. They need someone who knows Xactimate. No one reviewing resumes for this job cares if you're proficient in the auto-estimating software of CCC1 or Auditex. There isn't much relevance to this opportunity. It may still make the resume, but it isn't going to be primary. By looking at the job posting and crafting your resume, you can present the keywords that the ATS is looking for. That is why we customize your resume for each job. This shouldn't be a massive change in your resume, just some simple tweaks to the way you talk about yourself. Most likely, you're applying for only insurance adjuster and appraiser jobs, so it should be all fairly similar. Bottom line, you're going to craft your resume in a way that highlights what they want, how you can give it to them, and leave out what isn't relevant. We'll talk more about how to craft compelling and awesome bullet points in future chapters. But for now, understand that crafting them to match the job posting is critical. Action step. Pull up and search for 5 adjusting job postings on Indeed.com. Make sure they're from all different insurance companies. Write out the common keywords you're seeing in the job description and requirements. You can input these into an Excel template we've got for you to download called the Job Search Keyword Research Template at ipath.com/resume resources. These will likely be consistent keywords throughout and won't need to be customized often. Try to use these if possible on your resume when we get to the playbook section. This will give you a good idea of what companies are looking for and how they talk about it. L, length equals one page. I've heard people say resumes should be 2 pages long. In fact, John Bachman and I had a disagreement when we first started writing. We weren't on the same page, pun intended, about the resume page count. So before you go whipping one of the latest and greatest resume courses and books in my direction, showing me where it says 2 pages is how long the resume should be, hear me out. Since you're reading this book, you're likely going for a first-time position as an adjuster at an insurance company and not going for any executive positions. You may have tons of experience in other fields, but no perfectly relatable experience to the field of insurance adjusting. In fact, when John was hiring adjusters, he saw plenty of resumes from people looking for their first claims job. These were graduates fresh from college, former construction workers and carpenters, and people that worked at rental car companies and mitigation companies. He wasn't looking for 2 pages worth of filling space. What he was looking for was people relating their past experience to the job that he was looking to fill. A 2-page resume is for someone with 10 plus years in an industry. After 10 plus years in holding multiple jobs in an industry, you may consider doing 2 pages, but for now, just do 1 page. During our interviews, Tony Canyas of Insurance Nerds and the Jacobson Group, they're an insurance-specific recruiting company, been in business for over 45 years, along with a few others, stated that it doesn't even matter how much experience you have. A 1-page resume is the way to go. On top of that, we asked every single hiring manager and recruiter we interviewed the following question. The perfect adjuster resume, is it 1 page or 2? Guess what? 100% of them, a perfect score, said a perfect resume is 1 page. Simple. So let's give them what they want. With us having to put everything we want to say on 1 page, choosing what goes on the resume and what doesn't becomes super important. Let's look at some places we can trim the fat so our resume can look nice and neat on 1 page. Experience. Your job experience doesn't need to list everything you've ever done. It needs to tell the story of your work history as it relates to why you're a good fit for the adjusting job you are applying for. Your work at McDonald's 15 years ago is not likely going to move the needle, but your most recent employment, that's a must. If you stayed at one company for many years, great. Was there any advancement? If you were promoted, be sure to list those dates in addition to the total time at the company. Companies love to see you progressing in your career. Even if you're shifting to a new industry at this point, they want to see the progress of an individual. Make sure the experience you choose doesn't leave large non-working gaps, and make sure it helps explain your progression through your career and life. Work gaps. Real quick note on work gaps. If you have one longer than a year, you'll likely want to add that on your resume with a brief explanation. Add the work gap dates with a simple job heading of unemployed. And as your bullet point, add a one-sentence explanation. Took 18 months to care for my terminally ill mother, or backpacked across Asia. A work gap doesn't have to be a negative, but if you leave any glaring questions, you will likely get put into the do not call pile. Doug Brode, a hiring manager for a regional insurance carrier, mentioned that managers create their own narrative of a person's career and work gaps. Managers imagine what happened and fill in the blanks. Now, Doug is one of the nicest guys on the planet, and I'm sure he'd create an awesome narrative about you. But what about everyone else? The problem with allowing a hiring manager to fill in the blanks is that we can't determine what narrative they'll write in their own mind. We lose control of our own story. If you aren't telling your story, it's likely that someone else is. And we want to avoid that like the plague. Or better yet, at the time of this typing, avoid it like COVID. Education. When first out of college, you may brag about all your university accomplishments, but after the first 5 years of employment, it's time to brag about your work. A great way to trim the fat on your resume is to delete all bullets under your education and list only your school and degree and any education or training you can highlight that will directly benefit you as an adjuster. We'll talk way more in depth about these types of things in the playbook section. Action step. Think about and write down the jobs, skills, and education that are absolutely going to make the cut. What helps to create a solid narrative and foundation of your professional career as it relates to adjusting? We've got an Excel template for you to download called the Job History Narration Template at iPath.com/resume resources. This will give you direction to start in as you face the blank screen. A, arrange your skills. Arranging your skills is likely going to take you the most time on your resume, but also it'll help you get the best results. This is where you will list what skills you've demonstrated in your career through bullet points under their respective jobs. While customizing your resume is all about knowing what the posting is looking for, arranging your skills is all about selecting what skills and experience will best match up with that job posting. Those we interviewed mentioned unrelated careers that they thought helped prepare and produce great adjuster candidates. Some of the industries they mentioned were law enforcement, credit card collection companies, cable company, furniture rental sales, call center, teacher, nurse, rental car company. Why did they think that those industries were good at preparing someone? Well, first off, because they've had candidates successfully transition from those types of careers in the past. Secondly, because anything that provides the opportunity for customer service, empathy, and for dealing with people when they're not at their best will help prepare you as an adjuster. We, the authors, believe that there are likely many more industries that are good at preparing you for becoming an adjuster. Your life experience was probably really good at preparing you for this job. You just have to explain how and why your experience will help you perform the job duties and expectations through bullet points on your resume. You can download our resume samples for pivoting from one career to another by heading to iPath.com/resume resources. This will help you generate ideas on how to position your life skills into a compelling adjuster resume. Silver bullet points. Have you ever seen a movie with a silver bullet? There's usually some monster that needs defeating, and there's only one bullet that can do it. The silver bullet. Your bullet points need to be like this. The insurance company has needs and wants from you as a job applicant, and these will be listed in their job posting. It's your job to craft the silver bullet that can take out as many of those monsters as you can. There are a few key ingredients each bullet needs to have. Number one, keyword. Find the keyword you can take out with a bullet point. Number two, impact. What impact on a previous employer or accomplishment can you use to prove this bullet? Number three, numbers. Quantify your impact or accomplishment with numbers. What result did the company you work for receive? Remember our job posting from earlier? Communicate effectively with policyholders, claimants, and witnesses via telephone or in person to investigate and resolve claims. Now let's craft a silver bullet to eliminate this one. Maybe you worked at a doctor's office. You scheduled appointments for patients, collected insurance paperwork, and created files. We could customize and arrange our skills with this silver bullet. Keyword, communicate. Accomplishment, increased show-up rates of patients. Numbers, increased show-up rates by 25%, equaling $120,000 in additional revenue. A lot of goals and objectives for claims departments and managers have to do with expense reduction and avoiding cost leakage. If we reverse the narrative in this example, we could get better aligned with the hiring manager's needs and perspectives. When we put these three ingredients together, we get this silver bullet. Oversaw and improved communication with patients, decreasing no-show appointments by 25%. This avoided $120,000 in unnecessary expense and wasted productivity. The importance of the numbers cannot be overstated. You may feel it's impossible to quantify your impact on a company, but it isn't. Guesstimate if you must, but try your hardest to make it accurate. When you sit down and think about what you've done in your career, and I know you've done amazing things, it's time to create silver bullets out of them that will get you your next job and career. We don't need to create a bullet for everything in the job duties section of the job posting, but we want to knock out the ones we know we can match up well against. Arranging your skills under your different work experiences and skills with silver bullets that will allow you to create a great advertisement based on what the company is looking for and what you've done in your career. Action step. Look at your list of common keywords from earlier and your jobs, education, and skills that you wrote out. Can you connect any of the keywords to any particular job? Can one of your skills be reworded or reframed to include and match a keyword? Match as many as possible. Those that are a good match, circle on your paper or bold in your document. We'll invest time into these later. I, intentional and consistent. This is likely the most important part of this entire book. You must be intentional and consistent on your resume. The number one complaint that most hiring managers and recruiters stated was sloppy or incomplete resume. You want to make sure your resume is in top-notch shape, making sure all your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed, so to speak. Let's talk about a few things we can do to stay intentional and consistent. Fonts. When working on your resume, use a font that is universal, plain, and easy to read. I personally like the way Arial looks on a resume, but it turns out it is considered old-fashioned by some. Whatever font you choose, make sure you stick to one font throughout your resume and make it a universally accepted one. See a list below of fonts we suggest. 1. Verdana. 2. Calibri. 3. Georgia. 4. Cambria. Here is a list of fonts we recommend you don't use. Arial, Times New Roman, Courier, and Comic Sans. Remember, this isn't a beauty contest. The goal of the font is to make it easy to read. Also, many computer systems mess up the resume if it isn't an accepted font, so stick to the basics. Headers. When doing headers, you want to make sure there is a logical progression. The main header, your name, should be bigger than anything else. Using the same size headers across the rest of your resume will make it feel consistent and clean. Below is the recommendation for the different header sizes. If your resume doesn't fit onto one page or isn't a full page, then increase or decrease the font size of the section headers and text until it fits properly. We don't want too much space on a resume. You can adjust all standard text and header text by editing and utilizing the different header and styles of your document. Simply right-click the header or text that you need to change and then click Modify and be sure to click the automatically update checkbox after making changes before clicking OK in Microsoft Word. Example sizing. Name. 20 pixels. Bold. Heading 1. Section headers 14 pixels. Bold. Heading 2. Text 13 pixels. Normal. What you put on the resume is important, but just as important is making sure everything is consistent. If you make your previous employer bold, do that for all previous employers and educational institutions. Don't go random on bold, italics, headers, or anything. Everything must be intentional and consistent. The recruiters are looking for any sign that you are disorganized. Having a messy and confusing resume is an easy way to get thrown away. Don't give them any reason to throw your resume out. Action step. Go ahead and open up your blank document on your computer or download a resume template from ipath.com/resume resources. Save your document, even if blank, as yourname_resume_year.docx. Example, Chris Stanley resume _2020.docx. It has begun. Congrats. M. Make it perfect. This sounds simple, but it's so hard. Making sure your resume is perfect in every way is a challenge. That is why most people never make it to an interview. They mess something up. While the last chapter addresses being consistent across your resume or the formatting of your resume, now it's time to dive into the editing and proofreading of your resume. It is said that recruiters and hiring managers may overlook one mistake. One mistake is viewed as accidental, two is being sloppy, and three is unforgivable. Spend time going through and reviewing your resume line by line. Below are a few tips to ensure your resume is rock solid. 1. Use spell check and Grammarly. Grammarly is an online grammar checker. It far exceeds Microsoft Word spell checker and will help make sure every word and comma is properly placed. Spelling is even more important than grammar. One misspelling will often disqualify you from a job. 2. Check all headers. Double check that all of your headings are the same size and font. We need this to be consistent. 3. Check spacing. Spacing that isn't consistent is wrong. It doesn't take much to make your resume look weird. Stick to simple spacing and again, do it the same all over. Make sure every sentence has the same line spacing. 4, check for periods. Don't forget your periods. Period! 5, use present tense with your current job. This is an advanced tip. When writing about your current role, write it in the present tense. Don't write, placed in the top 5 of sellers in the nation. Instead, write it like this, in the present tense. Consistently place in the top 5 sellers in the nation. 6, check all bullet sizes. One mistake that is easy to make is bullet sizes. Make sure they're all the same size. This goes back to the consistency piece, but check it. Naming your resume file. When naming your resume file, name it with your name, the month, and year. See my example below. Chris Stanley, resume, July_20_ABC Insurance. Adding the company name could be a good idea if you're following our advice in customing each resume for each company. I believe it also speaks to how much value you place on the employer you're applying for. You took the time to create a resume just for them, rather than throwing your generic resume out to 100 companies. Things not to include on your resume. We're going to cover exactly what to put on your resume, step by step, in the next section of the book. But we've given you a strategy, and you may want to put things that we don't mention on there. But to make this resume perfect, remember, less is more. Many companies are scared of lawsuits or being accused of being partial due to age, sex, religion, race, etc. The resume is an unbiased way to evaluate a candidate. They don't know how old you are, other than creating a narrative in their head of your work history, what you look like, or how you live your life. According to Brian Falchuk, author of The Future of Insurance and former head of claims at an insurance carrier, companies are very concerned about being accused of discrimination. They're going so far to ensure that they're not influenced by the details of the applicant that they're removing the names of the applicants just in case it would clue someone in to their sex, race, etc. They're doing this so that they're focusing on the data within the resume itself. If you do your part and leave out information that could ever be seen as inappropriate, you're helping both the company and yourself. Let them evaluate your resume and what you can do for their company to land you an interview. We aren't going to put things like an objective. Nobody cares what you want. They care what you can do for them. Photos. Unless you fall into the rare case of wanting to submit a graphical resume, a picture is a mistake. Brian Falchuk told us this. A resume should just be data. We do not want a company to ever have the question come up of whether they may be biased by information that should not be included on the resume. We need to err on the side of caution for the company. Not to mention, the company is going to do their research and will see your picture on LinkedIn or other social media. Bottom line, no picture. Graphical elements. Other than a possible line across the screen, we're going straight vanilla formatting. Tony Canyas informed us of the fact that non-text information on a resume can hurt your ATS scoring and could result in your resume being tossed by the system. So no fancy stuff. Reference or references available on request. Every employer knows that you'll give references when they need them. Adding that is a waste of space. Personal information. Don't put anything about being a dad, married, date of birth, gender, sexual orientation, religious beliefs, or anything else personal. Desired salary. Nobody cares what you want to get paid until they want to hire you, so don't add it. Social media. Don't put your social media links on your resume. The hiring company will probably snoop, and that's okay. Let them work for it. Keyword section. Some people try to stuff a bunch of relevant keywords into the bottom of a resume to help the ATS pick them. That is the wrong answer. It is wasted space, and the person reviewing your resume will likely put you in the do not interview pile, even if you get through the ATS. Hobbies or interests. The company wants to know you're interested in their company. Leave off your interest in anything that is unrelated to them. In the next section of the book, we're going to dive deep into creating a resume with you, step by step. We'll try to touch every element that is needed, and you'll see us craft a resume, and there will be tasks at the end of each chapter for you to complete your resume. Are you ready? Let's do this! Action step. Before you start following along building a resume with us step by step, I highly recommend you sit down with a clean sheet of paper. If digital is your thing, then open a digital document and write out every accomplishment, impact, or story from your work experience you can remember that would highlight a strength in you or your work history. Remember those bold keywords you matched up earlier? Focus first on brainstorming stories for these. It'll help you build a strong narrative and story of how your life and career experiences have prepared you for being an adjuster. We'll use that list when building our resume, so keep it handy. Set a timer for 30 minutes and brainstorm. Don't worry about keeping it neat, just write out anything that comes to mind. Create a mind map or even chicken scratches, is fine at this point. Some possible examples from Chris's background are story about when Shop was going to fire us as a vendor, starting the Colorado market, working cat claims, travel, Amica pilot program in Raleigh, 30,000 plus auto estimates written. Your list may look very different, but that's okay. The point here is to come away with lots of potential stories or impacts that we can highlight on your resume. Set the timer for 30 minutes and brainstorm about your accomplishments, impact, and stories, starting now. Part 3, Playbook. All right, we're ready to put pen to paper or fingers to keys to craft your resume that will fight for you getting an interview and keep you out of the rejection pile. As we get started creating your resume, remember, our goal is to have a one-page resume that fills up the entire page. If you need to adjust the size of the font from something that we suggest, that's fine. I'm going to give you what I'm using so you can follow along and be close. Feel free to adjust as needed, but remember to adjust all sizes by 2 pixels until the size is right. Don't just change one header or one group of text. Keep it consistent. Contact information. Go ahead and open up Microsoft Word. We know many of you use Google Docs or Apple Pages, but we'll stick to Word as it is still the most consistently used. And now stare down the blank page that is the canvas for your job-winning resume. Choose your font. First off, we need to choose a font. Seems simple, but here's how to do it. Number one, go to the top of Microsoft Word and click the Home tab. Number two, select the drop-down arrow and select the font you desire. I suggest you use the Calibri font, but you can choose any of the following: Verdana, Calibri, Georgia, or Cambria. All right, your name. Size, 20. Font, bold. A blank page is an author's worst nightmare. I can imagine for some job applicants, it's also the biggest hurdle. I'll make it easy on you. The first line is going to be your name. So type it out. Chris Stanley. Great job. Now we will change the size of your name to 20 and make it bold. It should already be set on left alignment, but if needed, shift it back to left alignment. Address, size 10. Font, normal. Put your city and your state. Make sure you put a comma after the city. Abbreviation is fine for the state. No need for a street or mailing address, just the city and state. Chris Stanley, Lumberton, North Carolina, or NC. If you're applying for a job outside of where you're going to be currently living, I recommend you be straightforward and use your current city and state. You can put open to relocation next to your current city and state to inform them you're fine with moving. Email address, size 10, font normal. We're going to follow up our physical address with our email address. Separate the two with the space after your address, then a forward slash, followed by another space. The forward slash is the same button as the question mark on the keyboard. From here on out, I'll assume when I put forward slash, you'll add the appropriate spacing on either side of it. Chris Stanley, Lumberton, NC, chris@iapath.com. According to some, 76% of all resumes are discarded for having an unprofessional email address. Whether that's an exaggeration or not, let's not take any chances. You need to make sure your email is up to par. First, you need to leave your rockergirl1985@aol.com where it belongs. In the past. We don't want to identify our age with a birth year or an outdated email provider. We want to present a professional appearance in everything we do, including our email address. Get an email using a modern provider, meaning AOL, Hotmail, Yahoo, etc. They don't make the cut. I recommend getting a Gmail account. It's free and takes a few minutes to set up, but these are minutes well spent. Do something like Adjuster Chris Stanley or ChrisStanleyAdjuster at gmail.com. If your name and year is unavailable, try something like Chris.StanleyAdjuster at gmail.com. I did this as I wrote it out, and I ended up using my middle initial to find an available name. Now, if I can do it with a name like Chris Stanley, anyone can. There are tons of Chris Stanleys out there. John Smith, I apologize, you may struggle. Phone number, size 10, font, normal. Add a forward slash after the email address. Don't forget the spaces, and add your phone number. Chris Stanley, Lumberton, NC, chris@iapath.com, 999-888-7777. This should be your cell phone or whatever phone you're easiest to reach at. In this day and age, it is expected that you put a cell phone. Do not put your current work phone number, even if that is the easiest place to reach you. Stick to your cell phone and only put one number. Don't waste space by adding a home phone number or a second cell phone. This leads me to a side note, a bit outside of the resume we're building. Please make sure your outgoing voicemail message is appropriate. John has had instances when calling out and has heard, "Hey, you know what to do," or the classic prank of, "What? What? I can't hear you. Speak up." Just kidding. Leave a message. A nickel's worth of free advice. This won't help you when someone's trying to decide on whether to give you a chance to interview for their job opening. Divider. To finish off the contact information, we're going to add a divider. First, hold down Shift and click Enter. This goes down a line without adding too much space. There are a few ways to add a divider in Microsoft Word, but the easiest for Chris is to hold down the underscore button. It is located next to the zero key. Hold down Shift, then click the underscore button until you put a divider all the way across the page. You can also use a series of asterisks, then Enter, and it auto-creates a divider. John does this by holding down Shift plus 8 for about an inch worth of characters, then hit Enter, voila. Congrats, you finished the contact information and avoided one of the worst pitfalls, an unprofessional email address in the job-seeking business. Now we'll move on to the profile summary section of your adjuster resume. Go ahead and create your document and follow the instructions above to create your contact information section of your resume before proceeding. Profile summary. The second section of your resume will be the profile summary. Some people call this section the executive summary, just summary, or profile. You'll call it the profile summary section. This is where you pitch yourself in a brief statement about why you're a good fit for the job. This is typically where the scanning recruiter makes a snap judgment as to whether they should even go on to read your professional experience. This is also where the ATS picks up lots of good keywords. The ATS sees the top of the document as the area where you're putting top priorities. Skills that come first are seen as your top skills, and the lower that a skill appears in the resume, the less it is seen as a priority. You can lose a recruiter or hiring manager if you don't do a good job on this section, so make sure you have a good summary. Remember, how we think about a resume. It is an ad about ourselves. This summary section is what marketers and salespeople call an elevator pitch. An elevator pitch is designed to tell someone whether they should be interested in your product during an elevator ride. In this case, you're the product. We want to position ourselves as a good fit for the adjuster job you're applying for. A lot of our customization for each job will happen in the profile summary. Review the job posting you're applying for and determine what keywords from the job description you can safely, accurately, and honestly say you fulfill. Below are some example words and skills that insurance companies and hiring managers are typically looking for. Investigate. Negotiation. Customer satisfaction. Customer service. Research. Guidelines. Decision making. Administrative. Analytical. Detail oriented. Problem solving. Conflict resolution. Interpreting policy. Assessing damages. Remember, look at the job posting and see what they're looking for and try to arrange your skills and experiences to match those requirements. Then include that in your summary. This is likely the hardest part of the entire resume. If you feel your resume is light on adjuster-specific things, you may want to consider taking training or other steps to be more appealing. A few examples of things you can complete and then include in your profile summary are licensed adjuster, if you've obtained your adjuster license already, proficient in estimating software program, training and certifications you've completed. For those that may be blazing past this section, I want to pause for a second. You will be competing against 250 potential job candidates. Ask yourself, why should the hiring manager choose me? If you don't have a compelling and convincing reason, you should consider getting some adjuster-specific training. Getting your adjuster license is one of the easiest ways to stand out. Tom Bilecki, Vice President of Training and Development at The Best Recruiting Specialist, stated that a candidate looking for their job and claims gets a huge bonus for already having an insurance adjuster's license prior to applying. Now let's look at a job posting together and try to craft a profile summary for Chris's resume. Below is a job posting I just found on Indeed for a national insurance company. I highlighted 5 of these responsibilities or qualifications I want to knock out with my profile summary. I've highlighted the parts of the responsibilities that I believe I can show I'm a match for with my profile section. Responsibilities. Investigates, determines coverage of loss, and adjusts all elements of assigned property loss claims. Conducts inspections of loss sites, writes appraisals for dwelling repairs, and issues payment to policyholders where possible. May work with a network contractor in the appraisal process. All of that was highlighted. This one is not highlighted. Explains coverage of loss, assists policyholders with itemization of damages, emergency repairs, and additional living arrangements. Here's another highlighted bullet. Works with and may coordinate a number of vendor services such as contractors and emergency repair, cleaning services, and various replacement services. A non-highlighted bullet. Identifies suspicious losses, recommends referral to SIU where appropriate, and may assist the SIU in their investigation and settling in the claim. Final highlighted bullet. Field property claims adjuster. Catastrophe will work remotely and travel 75% of the time. Qualifications. Non-highlighted bullet. Ability to travel 75% of the time. Bold bullet. Requires working knowledge of claims handling procedures and operations. The rest of these qualifications are not highlighted. Demonstrated understanding of building construction principles. Proven ability to provide exceptional customer service. Effective negotiation skills. Ability to effectively and independently manage workload while exhibiting good judgment. Strong written oral communication and interpersonal skills. Computer skills with the ability to work with multifaceted systems and analytical skills. The capabilities, skills, and knowledge required is normally acquired through a bachelor's degree or equivalent experience and at least 1 year of directly related experience. Ability to obtain proper licensing as required. Now, as a recap, the 5 I highlighted have certain keywords I'm picking out. I could have highlighted more potentially, but these are the ones I chose to try to tackle. See them highlighted in the statements below. Investigates, keyword, determines coverages of loss and adjusts all elements of assigned property loss claims. conducts inspections of losses. That's the section I'm focusing on. Writes appraisals for dwelling repairs and issues payments to policyholders where possible. May work with a network contractor in the appraisal process. Another bullet. Works with and may bold coordinate a number of bold vendor services such as contractors, emergency repair, etc. Another bullet. Field property claims adjuster, bold, catastrophe, and will work remotely and travel 75% of the time. Requires working knowledge of bold claims handling procedures and operations. With those keywords, I'm going to pull out my list of strengths and stories we created in part two to be able to arrange my skills, experience, and stories to these words. Notice how I highlighted the keywords I'm matching so that you can easily see where I placed them while reading this book. Keep in mind, I will not have them in bold font on the resume. So here's my profile summary. Experienced and licensed claim adjuster that has investigated 20,000 plus auto damage claims, handles inspections of damaged vehicles and writing of estimates on site with exemplary claim handling practices and customer service, has traveled for catastrophic claims and has overseen coordination of the repair of hail damaged vehicles with various paintless dent repair vendors and body shops. Those are words I would likely never write under normal circumstances. I took my personal list and arrange the skills, experience, and stories to match the keyword. Also, you may be thinking, Chris, you have tons of experience. That makes it so easy for you. We anticipated you might say that. So John and I created 10 different job examples of how you could sell yourself and your previous experience in a profile summary to be able to highlight things that you dealt with in that job that's going to make you a great adjuster. We also include tons of great resume examples at the resources page at iapath.com/resume resources. Now, let's add the profile summary to our resume. The profile summary header, size 11, all caps, font bold. Profile summary text, size 11, font normal. Action step. Now it's your turn to put your skills, experience, and stories into a dynamite profile summary. If you need help, head to iapath.com/resume resources to see the things that John and I have created and compiled to make this easier for you. Professional experience. Here's where you could put your life's work on paper. Normally, this is the most boring part of the entire document, but not for us. We're going to make it sizzle. Keep in mind, all this work has an end goal. You want to be a claims adjuster, and this resume's job is to get you your interview. If you craft this resume right, you may have to adjust your profile summary somewhat for each application, but the core of the resume will be solid and ready for any adjuster role. Once you hook a recruiter or hiring manager with your profile summary, or don't lose them with the email address, they'll be scrutinizing this section the most out of all the sections. When putting your experience, you need to make sure your language is exciting and not boring. Most people make fun of the sham wow guy and other infomercial personalities, but there's a reason they're acting so energetic. It gets your attention. You obviously can't jump up and down and raise your voice to get their attention on a resume. You must use words. The goal of your resume, remember, is to be an advertisement, and the louder and more energetic you can be with your words, the more likely someone will pay attention. Now, you don't just put powerful words that don't mean anything. You need to stick to your keywords, skills, experiences, and stories whenever possible. Professional experience header, size 11, all caps, font bold. Remember consistency. This header should match all previous headers and the future ones, so use all caps. Keep it simple so we don't mess this up. Place of employment. Size 10, font bold. We'll start in reverse chronological order, meaning your current job or last job, and work backwards in time. The most recent places of employment are likely what the person hiring is going to zero in on, so give it to them in the order they want to read it in. Bold only the company name, add a dash, then add the city and state the company or job was located in. If you're abbreviating states, which I recommend, make sure you stay consistent and abbreviate them here. See my example below. Professional experience, IAPath, dash, Lumberton, NC. Dates of employment, size 10, font bold. You want to make sure that when you put dates of employment, it is as accurate as possible to the timeframes you work the job. If needed, call HR of an old job to confirm the month and year. You don't want someone following up on your resume to find out that you misrepresented when you worked. It also just looks sloppy if they find out or notice. Type in the dates as the month spelled out, then the year, followed by a dash, and the month and year when the job ended. If it is your current job, put the word present as your finish date. Once you add the months and year, we want to get them to the right-hand side of the page. We accomplish this by putting your cursor in front of the months and dates and hitting tab until they're all the way to the right-hand side of the page. Position held or role. Size 10, font italic. Underneath the company you work for, you'll need to list the positions you held. We're going to use italics to make it look different than the company name or standard text. Professional experience, IAPath-Lumberton NC, October 2016 to present, founder and CEO. Bullets and job accomplishments, size 10, font normal. Create a list of bullets under the job. Jobs that you've held in the last 5 years can have up to 5 bullets beneath them. For anything longer than 5 years ago, 1 to 3 bullets is fine. For jobs that you held 10 years or longer, don't use more than 1 bullet. If longer than 15 years ago, don't list the job at all unless it's relevant to the role you're applying for. If you've only had 1 or 2 positions, feel free to use more bullets than 5. That's just a general rule. These bullets should not be paragraphs or listings of your responsibilities. The bullets should be accomplishments or results that are measurable and quantifies impacts to your previous or current employer. As an example, I could say something vague like, built a leading online adjuster training school. The problem is that it doesn't list anything measurable or quantifiable. You need to use numbers, percentages, dollar amounts, etc. Remember the silver bullet recipe. Keyword. Find the keyword you can take out with a bullet point. Impact. What impact on a company or accomplishment can you use to prove this bullet? Numbers. Quantify your numbers or accomplishment with numbers. What result did the company you work for receive? A better way to word my previous statement is, grew sales of our online training academy by 200% for 3 years in a row. Do you see how when it's measurable, someone can understand the growth? Then it's no longer ambiguous. You can do this with anything. A vague statement about integrity doesn't help insurance companies quantify your impact on your previous employer. But saying, reduce shrinkage, lost product, by 50%, saving the company $100,000 annually. That makes a strong statement about your integrity and benefit to the organization you worked for, then a vague accolade about integrity. Don't put pronouns in front of your statements, such as, I grew sales. That is redundant, unnecessary, and a waste of space. Don't forget about keywords and arranging your skills. This is another great place to showcase to the hiring manager that you're exactly what the company is looking for. But don't shy away from great accomplishments just because it doesn't directly correlate to the current job. Showing that you have a positive impact on your previous employers is the goal. Relating it to the job you're applying for is a bonus, but one you should work very, very hard to do. Remember, hiring managers are creating narratives in their head about what your career has been like. What story are you telling them with your experience and bullets? Here's an example, work history and bullets, so you can see what this section should look like when you're finished. If you want to see it since you're listening to this, head to iPath.com/resume resources. Multiple roles at one company. Size 10, font italic. When you have worked multiple roles at a single company, you'll need to add each as a new position underneath the bullets of the positions listed previously. Make sure you keep everything consistent and in chronological order. It is also a good idea to put the dates you worked each role for the company next to the job title and give separate bullets for each one. See my example below or at iPath.com/resume resources of how I added dates to my current role into the role I fulfilled previously. Make sure that the bullets are most impactful with the most recent and current role. More important than the number of bullets is that you focus on your accomplishments in your current or recent role. How to add various companies under one position. As an independent adjuster and auto damage appraiser, Chris had to work for many different companies at the same time. Instead of creating a new company and role for each, we're going to add the title and role that applies to his own company and then list the various other companies he worked with and the dates he worked with them. If you've done contract work, you can do the same or something similar. Just remember to keep everything consistent. Whatever you do for one, you must do it the same across the board. To see the example, head to iPath.com/resume resources. You don't have to list every contract job you ever did. You could list your company name, years, and accomplishments all without listing the companies and contracts. It's up to you what you do and what you decide, and it all may depend on the space you have to work with. With the resume we are doing, we're running out of space and may need to condense Chris's time running his Bantam Claims company and eliminate all the different contract work he did and put it under one heading. To see how we finalized it, head to iPath.com/resume resources. Working gaps. Many people are worried about having gaps in their work history. If presented properly and the gap was for a good reason, listing it as professional experience may be a positive rather than a negative. Remember, we want to control our story rather than an HR rep or hiring manager trying to create our story for us. If we get in front of it and tell our story, it leaves little to be interpreted, read, misunderstood. If you've taken time to care for a loved one, took a year to do traveling, or went back to school full-time, you may want to add it into your work history if you have the space. Once again, the person hiring you likely doesn't care as much about a work gap 10 years ago versus you not working for the last year. Each situation is different, and only you can determine if you need to present it on your resume. If you're having trouble deciding whether to add a work gap explanation to your resume or not, it may come down to deciding if you have enough space, and that's okay. If you're having trouble filling out the page and have a work gap, putting an explanation may make sense. If you can't fit your most important achievement onto the page, your work gap may not be needed. If you decide it needs to be on there, make sure it looks like it belongs and use the same formatting we've been using for professional experience. Here's an example work gap we created to show you. Personal care worker, became primary caretaker of terminally ill grandmother, June 2014 to July 2016. You can see the example at iPath.com slash resume resources. Notice how I still use the bullet to describe the benefit that was brought to the family by taking care of a family member. If something like that ended up being on your resume, I don't think anyone's going to mind, and in fact, it may help. Chris's mom was a stay-at-home mom until he graduated, but she also homeschooled him and his siblings. Instead of calling herself unemployed, she could list herself as a teacher, along with accomplishments and things she did while teaching them. Looking at your professional experience and arranging it in a way that presents your true skills and accomplishments is difficult, but the key is to start. It doesn't have to be perfect the first time. Action step. Write out every position in 3 to 5 bullets per job and position you held. Don't worry about arranging and crafting it yet. Identify the key accomplishments and skills you utilized. Then go back through and arrange it in a way that uses quantifiable and measurable results using the silver bullet recipe so they show the benefits the company enjoyed by having you on staff. Education. We've arrived at the last mandatory section of the resume, education. You should always put your education at the bottom of your resume. This is the standard place to put it. For those that have multiple degrees, this section is harder than someone who only has a high school degree. We'll look at the common situations and how you can handle putting your education on your resume. Education header, size 11, font bold. Just keep it straightforward and use the word education for the header. Don't choose now to get cute on your resume. Keep it simple for the ATS, recruiter, and hiring manager to find. You want to see our example, head to iapath.com/resume resources. School title, size 10, font, bold. Add the educational establishment as bold, followed by a dash, and then the city and state where the school is located. Do not bold the city and state. See our example, head to iapath.com/resume resources. Graduation date, optional. Size 10, font, bold. If you're concerned about your age, it is okay to skip the date on the graduation. It is illegal for companies to pass on a candidate due to age, but impressions are made regardless. If you're concerned about your age, leave the date of graduation off. The date of graduation is particularly useful for recruiters and hiring managers to piece together your education and professional experience journey. If you decide to add the graduation date, type out the word graduated, then add the month and year you completed your schooling or degree. Make sure you align it all the way to the right. We want it to be perfectly aligned with all the other dates we put on our professional experience. Degree, size 10, font italic. Put your degree or level of education attained underneath the school in italics. If you started a degree but never finished, you can list that degree you are pursuing. If you're actively still pursuing the degree, in the date section, put when you expect to complete it using the language expected graduation May 2021. If you're no longer pursuing your degree, but you completed a good chunk of credits, you may want to add those credit hours in any courses that are relevant to the job you're applying for as a bullet point. Example, 56 credits towards, insert your degree, relevant coursework, dash, insert relevant courses. List multiple degrees and colleges you received them from in the same manner we listed separate jobs. If running out of space, it is acceptable to handle formatting like this. To see the example, head to iapath.com/resume resources. For first jobs out of college, if you have had very little professional experience and you're coming straight out of college and looking for your first job, you may consider moving your education to the top of your resume. Also, if it's been fewer than 5 years since graduation, you could talk about honors, accomplishments, rewards, etc., that you received during your education. But if it's been longer than 5 years, the person hiring you isn't likely interested in your college accomplishments. Action step. Write down your education history. Once that is complete, It's time to view your resume as a whole. Is it too long? Too short? Can you simply adjust your font size a little to make it fit perfectly on one page? Or do you need to go chopping and deleting words and bullet points? Make sure your resume fits perfectly on one page and has the most important information on it. Delete or resize to make it a full one page. No more, no less. Frequently asked questions about resumes. Should I include an objective? No. The applicant tracking system, or ATS, or recruiters scanning your resume aren't looking for what you want out of life. They're looking for a qualified recruit. Don't waste space on your resume or their time by adding an objective. Should I include a cover letter? I wish it was a simple no, but it isn't. One of the 10 recruiters and hiring managers we talked to, Brian Jackson of Polakoff Recruitment Solutions, discussed the importance of a cover letter. He believes it is a great tool if you have potential hiccups in your resume, such as work gaps, inconsistent job history, or a huge jump from one type of career to adjusting. He mentioned you can control the narrative and how people look at you a little better with a cover letter. He also mentioned that for 90% of people, a cover letter doesn't make sense. Most ATS systems don't care or take into account the cover letter, but if you're nervous you won't be taken seriously for any of the reasons listed above, a cover letter may be right for you, but we don't believe it's mandatory or should be used by everyone. Should I list my hobbies? No. The company may not care what you do in your off time. If they're interested in your hobbies, they'll ask you in the interview. Plus, space is a premium on your resume. Don't use it for hobbies. Should I list volunteer work? During our interviews with hiring managers, a few said they love to see volunteering and being part of the community on a resume. If you do volunteer work for an organization or church, it may be worth arranging your resume to list it. You'd list volunteering below professional experience and above the education section. The education section should be last. What if I lack relevant professional experience? The insurance industry is very open to people from other career fields. Many hiring managers and recruiters told us story after story of someone coming from another field and being an awesome adjuster. Learning to realize the skills you have and how to arrange them to fit the job is the name of the game when it comes to a resume. What if I haven't worked for years? The reason why you haven't worked for years is far more important than the fact by itself. If you've been a stay-at-home mom or homeschooling kids like Chris's mom, you have skills that are valuable. You'll need to arrange them to match the job. A cover letter may be correct for you if this situation applies. Also, adding related training and certifications can be a great way to get an insurance company or independent adjusting or appraisal firm to give you an opportunity. Should I hire someone to write my resume? If you're having trouble arranging your skills and experience to the adjusting jobs you're reviewing, hiring someone may make sense. Paying someone $200 to customize your resume and arrange your skills could help you land the job you want. Once you have one completed, you can easily tweak the keywords to match the different postings you're applying for. In fact, one of the hiring managers we spoke to keeps his resume as a living document and each year has a resume writer update it. They state it's well worth the few hundred dollar investment. One benefit to creating your own resume is that you discover and can better communicate your story to the potential hiring managers. Can I do a graphical resume? Now this is a roll of the dice. My gut and research tells me no. Although I personally love the flair of a graphical resume, most insurance companies and hiring firms dislike them. When we asked hiring managers about graphical resumes, their reaction was like we had tried to poison them. I don't think it's worth the risk unless you submitted a traditional resume and been ignored. A graphical resume may get the attention of somebody or just get you thrown straight into the garbage. I'd caution you against it. The ATS can't read graphical resumes and will likely throw you in the garbage. See the comment from Tony Canyes earlier in the book stating that it can hurt your ATS score to have graphics on your resume. What about digital portfolios? We had a few managers mention these, and they liked them as a second page to the resume. For 99% of people, just stick to a one-page traditional resume. What is the best way to make my resume more impressive? Nothing beats having related experience and to be already working claims. But the next best thing is industry-specific training. If you're looking to beef up your resume, take the initiative and get your adjuster license. Take on estimating software courses or get industry certifications. If you need help in this arena, check out our book, The Insurance Company Adjuster's Playbook. Inside of that book, we map out exactly how anyone can take the steps to get a job at an insurance company. We give exact recommendations and strategies you can take to land the job. Next steps. Thank you so much for reading The Adjuster's Resume Playbook. Both John and I are thrilled that you took hours of your time to read this book. We know that being judged from a piece of paper is an intimidating thought, and we hope we empowered you to create an awesome resume so you can land your dream adjusting job. Now it's up to you to go and apply for jobs. If you're looking for more help and getting started in your adjusting career, we'd recommend that you check out Chris and John's other book, The Insurance Company Adjuster's Playbook, if you're interested in working for an insurance company. If interested in becoming an independent adjuster that owns your own business, you should check out Chris's book, The Independent Adjuster's Playbook. Both of these books are step-by-step career guides to the different ways to break into the adjusting industry. Just like you're being judged by your resume, this book is being judged based on how many reviews it has on Amazon. If you could take a moment and leave a review so others know if it's worth their time, that would be amazing. Just a sentence or two is perfect. You can head to iapath.com/resume review, which will redirect you to Amazon, or just head to Amazon directly. Thanks for making us a part of your amazing adjuster journey. Keep walking your path and claiming your life. Bonus resume resources. Throughout this book, you heard about a magical webpage that has free resources for you. It is a real place, not just in our imagination. On it, we give you a lot of information. This webpage allows us to continue to give you great resume content long after the book and this audiobook has been finished. On the page is the download of job-specific resume examples, summaries of why we think you'd make an awesome adjuster, discounts to training that'll make your resume sing, videos, articles, and tons of other resources. You can find all this resume goodness at iapath.com/resume resources. Acknowledgements. Without the people listed here, this book would not exist. And if it did exist, you likely would never, ever have heard of it. We'd like to give a special thanks to those who let us interview them for research inside of this book. Thank you for giving your time, knowledge, and opinion. Side note, not all that were interviewed are listed here for legal reasons. Contributors: Brian Falchuk, managing partner of Insurance Evolution Partners and former head of claims for a national commercial lines insurer, and also best-selling author of The Future of Insurance. Tony Canyes, client advisor at the Jacobson Group and the best-selling author of Insuring Tomorrow, chief of the Insurance Nerds. Tom Bilecki, vice president of training and development at the Best Insurance Recruiting Specialists. Brian Jackson, account executive at Paulikoff Recruitment Solutions. Rob Moeller, senior talent acquisition consultant at USI. Patrick Callahan, insurance and claims consultant, former hiring and claims manager, also known as the insurance elephant. Alex Clay, claims leader at an MGA claims organization. Eric Lindblom, ex-hiring and claims manager at a national insurance carrier. We'd also like to thank the industry leaders that took the time to read this book and give their feedback prior to its release. Early readers: Ryan Hanley, founder and CEO of Rogue Risk. Nick Lamparelli, Insurance Nerd's partner, co-founder of Rethought Insurance Corporation. Carly Burnham, Insurance Nerd's partner. Ken Wittick, Vice President of Claims Operation at The Best. Chris Casaleggio, insurance industry author of Adjusting to a Career in Property and Casualty Claims. Noel Codispati. Jason Heenan, the founder of Royal Adjusting Services and host of the Adjuster Talk podcast. Matthew Allen, founder of Adjuster TV. Carl Van, president and CEO of the International Insurance Institute. Pete Sheehan Jr., executive vice president of IADA, the Independent Automotive Damage Appraisers Association. Now, the reason you're likely reading this book is because of the IAPath book launch team. Getting a book written is one challenge, but getting someone to care enough to read a book is an entirely different challenge. Our book launch team did a fantastic job of championing this book because they thought you would be helped by it. IAPath book launch team: Brad Fancher, Max Olson, James Mathis, Matthew Blust, Tanisha Johnson, Cash Cleaver, Pete Garrett, Jerome Latch, Rhonda Hayes, Jeffrey Crafton, Guinevere Wall, Michael Kosmowski, Michael Larson, Mr. Jan Erickson, Nick Fraticelli, Jason Revere, Karen Geswin, TJ Sullivan, Don Mills, Russell Meeks, Philip Rosa, Grady Huron, John Frommeyer, Ernest Johnson, John Hopkins, Daryl Long, Tom Bogle, Shanta James Boyd, Kobe Hearn, and many more.